Hello, and welcome to the first in a series of podcasts developed by the American Traffic Safety Services Association. Today, we'll discuss designing and setting up solutions for temporary traffic control areas that meet the needs of disabled pedestrians and comply with the Americans with Disabilities Act. Our goal is to help listeners familiarize themselves with pedestrian accessibility considerations. This podcast is based on work supported by the Federal Highway Administration under the 2011 Work Zone Safety Grant. The material presented in this podcast is consistent with federal standards and statutes, but we encourage you to consult your state and local accessibility guidelines. Failing to follow accessibility guidelines in your state or locality can put you at risk. This podcast is a companion to the document Applying the American with Disabilities Act in Work Zones, a Practitioner's Guide, which was developed under the Work Zone Safety Grant. This document is available, along with an accompanying video, at workzonesafety.org. For a more extensive and detailed discussion on this topic, please review this companion document. This podcast is divided into three parts. Part 1, which includes this introduction, is about 14 minutes. It will discuss relevant federal laws that pertain to pedestrian accessibility. Part 2 is about 16 minutes and is divided into two segments. The first segment addresses pedestrian accessibility considerations in temporary traffic control zones. The second part discusses accommodating disabled pedestrians and includes the minimum design requirements necessary to do so. Part 3 is about 8 minutes long and provides example engineering challenges and options for how to overcome them. Let's start with a discussion of the Americans with Disabilities Act and related guidelines and standards. The Americans with Disabilities Act, or ADA, was enacted in 1990 by Congress. The ADA is a civil rights law that gives Americans with disabilities the same protection as the Civil Rights Act of 1964. According to the ADA, a disability is known as, quote, any physical or mental impairment that substantially limits a major life activity, end quote. This includes activities like seeing, hearing, walking, and communicating, unless changes are made to accommodate the needs of disabled people in public places. These activities can be, and often are, limited by the environment we live in. For this reason, the ADA requires equal access to all pedestrians, including those with physical and/or mental disabilities. This means that equal access must be provided not only in completed, publicly accessible transportation facilities, but also during construction and improvements. Because the ADA prohibits discrimination by all public entities at local and state levels, public agencies must comply with ADA regulations and address access requirements for all programs and services offered, including transportation systems. The U.S. Access Board, a federal agency devoted to accessibility for people with disabilities, develops and maintains the ADA Accessibility Guidelines, or ADAAG. ADAAG establishes design criteria for construction, including transportation systems, and outlines minimum accessibility requirements for a wide variety of facilities, new construction, and alterations. Note that new construction and alterations are crucial to this discussion and are part of the federal guideline that brings temporary traffic control zones under the umbrella of ADA accessibility. The U.S. Access Board is also responsible for accessibility guidelines under the Architectural Barriers Act, or ABA. The ABA requires agencies to comply with ADA accessibility guidelines by providing access to new construction and alterations design, built, altered, or leased with federal funds. Such facilities may include transit stop shelters or elevators that lead to raised public transportation platforms. The Access Board also has drafted a set of standards that regulate pedestrian facilities within the public right-of-way. These guidelines, called the Proposed Right-of-Way Accessibility Guidelines, or PROAG, were published in the Federal Register in 2005. This is important. PROAG has not been fully adopted and is not considered a standard with the force of the law behind it. However, PROAG are currently recommended as best practices and can be considered for areas that are not fully addressed by ADAAG or ABA. PROAG's proposed standards specifically state that they cover temporary facilities that include, but are not limited to, temporary routes around work zones. So again, PROAG is not a standard, but it does provide recommended best practices, and those practices do cover temporary routes around work zones. PROAG states that, quote, all altered portions of existing facilities located in the public right-of-way shall comply with these requirements to the maximum extent feasible, end quote. These alterations include renovating, rehabilitating, reconstructing, and resurfacing circulation paths or vehicular ways. They also include changing or rearranging structural parts or elements of a facility. For example, according to the Manual on Uniform Traffic Control Devices, also known as MUTCD, whenever pedestrian walkways or sidewalks and across streets are constructed or altered, curb ramps with detectable warning surfaces must be installed. PROAG section R202.3 also states that when elements, spaces, or facilities within a project scope are altered, they must comply with the same requirements as new construction. Let's clarify what project scope means. When we say within the scope of the project, we're referring to whether or not an alteration project presents an opportunity to design an altered element, space, or facility in an accessible way. PROAG does not intend for additional work to be done outside a project scope. Here's an example. If an alteration project involves installing pedestrian signals at existing intersections and there are no detectable warning surfaces on the existing curb ramps at these intersections, PROAG would only require accessible pedestrian signals and pedestrian push buttons to be provided, since they are within the project scope. It is important to understand that the term alteration, as defined by the Federal District Court of Appeals, includes resurfacing a roadway. The court said that if a street is to be altered to make it more usable by the general public, it must also be made more usable by those with ambulatory disabilities. If resurfacing affects the usability of a street for motor vehicles or pedestrians at crosswalks, curb ramps must be included where pedestrian routes cross curbs or other barriers. Note that ADA does not require pedestrian accessibility improvements during maintenance activities, since they are not considered an alteration. Maintenance activities are defined as actions that are intended to preserve roadway systems, slow future deterioration, and maintain the functional condition of roadways without increasing structural capacity. For example, pavement patching and liquid applied sealing, lane restriping, repairing joints, patching pavement, in other words, filling potholes, repairing shoulders, signing, striping, repairing drainage systems, and minor signal upgrades, and other similar short-term maintenance activities are not considered alterations. Unlike maintenance, an alteration is a change to a facility in the public right-of-way that affects or could affect its access, circulation, or use. Projects that could potentially affect the structure or grade of roadways are characterized as alterations. Projects that alter public right-of-way must incorporate pedestrian access improvements within the project scope to meet ADA and Section 504 requirements. Examples of alterations include reconstruction, major rehabilitation, widening, resurfacing that requires structural overlays, and mill and fill and signal installation and upgrades. Work outside the project scope is at the discretion of the agency. However, if a project impedes or alters any aspect of a pedestrian route, it must adhere to ADAAG. PROAG says that when existing elements are altered or added, but pedestrian paths are not altered or impeded, the path is not required to comply with the requirements for pedestrian access routes. CR202.1. For example, if a new bench is installed on a sidewalk that has a cross slope exceeding 2%, The sidewalk is not required to be altered to reduce the cross slope just because the bench is installed on the sidewalk. Federal Highway Administration rules and guidelines for existing curb ramps affected by alteration projects have determined that curb ramps should be updated to current accessibility standards. This includes adding a detectable surface to the ramp. Truncated domes are the only detectable warnings allowed by ADAAG. Grooves, exposed aggregate, and other designs are too similar to pavement textures, cracks, and joints. They are not considered equal to truncated domes, which are a unique design and have proven to be the most easily detected surface enhancement. All new construction and alteration projects that involve curb ramps are required to include the necessary provisions to construct or upgrade existing ramps in order to meet minimum accessibility guidelines. Let's talk about some scenarios where accessibility modifications may be needed. Scenario 1. New curb ramps are being installed in an existing sidewalk that is being widened and resurfaced as part of a downtown improvement program. On one corner, an existing underground utility vault is located in the best spot for a curb ramp. Should the utility vault be moved to ensure that the curb ramp falls within the marked crossing? The answer is maybe. The scope of this project will determine the answer. If utilities are already being moved for other reasons within the project scope or limits, it may be feasible to alter or relocate the vault. If planned project construction does not involve the vault, it may not be feasible to locate the curb ramp in as optimal a spot as new construction standards would require. There are many workarounds for barriers in the public right-of-way. For example, you could consider widening crosswalk markings to include the new curb ramp location, raising the crosswalk if roadway use permits, or installing an apex ramp as a last resort. Scenario 2. A city is resurfacing a sidewalk along Main Street. The distance between the edge of the right-of-way and the existing roadway does not provide sufficient room for a 4-foot-wide pedestrian access route. Does the municipality have to acquire more right-of-way from private property owners or narrow the roadway to provide a more conforming walkway? The answer is no. Accessibility guidelines do not require the municipality to obtain right-of-way or to narrow roadways within the limited scope of work of a sidewalk resurfacing project. However, if a municipality plans to narrow a roadway for traffic calming purposes or acquire additional right-of-way as part of a downtown improvement project, it should plan the project to accommodate new construction standards for sidewalk width. Note that the ADA requires adding curb ramps as part of this project, since it is an alteration to a sidewalk. Scenario 3. Countdown signal displays are being added to some existing walk, don't walk pedestrian signal heads at an intersection, but the software and signal controller are not being altered. Should accessible pedestrian signals be installed? Again, the answer is no. Adding displays to existing signals would not involve the system changes needed to implement accessible pedestrian signals. However, keep in mind that the program access provisions that govern existing facilities may apply at any location, regardless of whether alterations are planned. For instance, if a resident with a disability requests accessible pedestrian signals at a crossing, a jurisdiction must consider installing them to provide accessibility. This concludes Part 1 of this podcast. To listen to Part 2, please visit the Work Zone Safety Clearinghouse page at workzonesafety.org. This podcast has been a presentation of the Federal Highway Administration's Work Zone Safety Grant Program.